This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our Bet 365 triple option feature. Want to tell everybody at 6:30 tonight, it'll be LSU pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch as the LSU Tigers play University of Alabama. And so, interesting game, Charlie, to crank up the three-game series. And then I think Friday, I think it's moved up a half hour. It's 6:30 first pitch.
Yeah.
I think pregame is at 6. So, and all that will be here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. Also, want to tell everybody at 4:20 this afternoon, we'll have on with us one of our favorite guests from Odyssey Sports, Nick Friedell, NBA insider, to talk to us about Joe Dumars, the Pelicans, and what he's looking for in the future. And also at 5:20, the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. So, Charlie, your thoughts? LSU, Alabama, and you know, they bounced back against McNeese State. McNeese, I think, had won 12 straight games entering that game. But, man, this is SEC baseball, and nothing's easy. Hey, nothing.
You don't want to take anything away from McNeese, because if the season ended today, they would be an at-large team, even without winning the Southland Conference. They're 27-6 overall. They've had a fantastic season. But to your point, this is a number 15-ranked team in the country in Alabama. And I mentioned this last week, Mike, before we were kind of previewing the Auburn series, that Alabama and Auburn had a matchup that kind of determined which team was going which direction in the middle of the SEC. And Auburn took 2 of 3 from Alabama right before they played LSU, where they swept LSU. And now they're all the way up to like number 6 in the country. So they made the movement up. Alabama's kind of stayed steady in the middle of the pack of the SEC. They've got a good offense. Their pitching staff is where, you know, kind of the Achilles heel here. Granted, like I've said before, I said similar things about Auburn, right? Auburn's offense was the thing that scared you. Their pitching staff wasn't that great, but Auburn's pitching staff really stepped up against LSU's offense. What I'm looking for this weekend, Mike, is the big bounce back. You're back at the box for 9 straight home games. Well, you've already played the first of those 9 straight home games against McNeese, but you have back-to-back weekend series at home against Alabama and Tennessee. I'm looking for this LSU offense that's been so elite all season long to really flex their muscles here and kind of control this series. When you were playing Auburn, you weren't in the lead at all. And so if you can get off to hot starts against these Alabama starting pitchers, which are vulnerable, that's where I think LSU can make some hay.
Yeah, Auburn, I thought, did a great job pitching. Take nothing away from their pitching. And LSU's bats were ice cold. I mean ice.
Yep.
In all three games against Auburn. So LSU's got to get the bats back hot again because the pitching was there for them to win. To be honest with you, they pitched well enough to win against Auburn. But, okay, you got to get some support. I know even Scotty Sanders had talked about that in the preview, that this would be a series where LSU's bats have to come out early and they got to get people rolling because Auburn could pitch well enough to beat them, and that's exactly what happened.
And Alabama's got some hitters that do kind of worry you a little bit. I mentioned it in the Sports Flash. We talked with Cokie Riley last night. He highlighted Justin LeBron, who's one of the best players in the entire SEC, both at the plate and at shortstop defensively for them. He's hitting .333 this season. Number one in the SEC, Mike, 58 RBI this season. Alabama shortstop Justin LeBron. He's also got 15 home runs, which is number three in the league. Also, Kate Snell, who it feels like he's been there for a long time at this point.
He's like getting Social Security.
Yeah, right, exactly. Hitting .365, eight doubles, five homers. So they have a couple of players in the lineup that kind of scare you a little bit. I'm more looking towards that pitching staff for Alabama, which is kind of near the bottom of the pack in the SEC as far as ERA and batting average allowed. They don't strike a lot of folks out. I'm looking for LSU's bats to be patient this weekend, earn some walks, because that's another thing that Alabama's pitching staff has struggled with. They're like 10th in the SEC in walks given up. Get on base early and often and scratch across some runs and kind of take control of the weekend early.
And you can hear that three-game series right here on the Big 870 WWL. Well, again, tomorrow it'll be a little bit earlier in that the pregame will be at 6 and the game itself will be at 6:30. And tonight, the opener, LSU-Alabama, pregame at 6:30, first pitch at 7 o'clock. Also, want to tell everybody at 4:40, Charlie and I will go through the top edge rushers in this draft class for 2025. In my top 80, 15 edge rushers in that top 80. So if you're looking to get better on defensive line, if it's at defensive tackle, defensive end, this is the draft to do it. And I didn't include Jalen Walker in that group. I've got him as a linebacker because I think in the first down, second down, that's exactly where Jalen will play. He'll play linebacker, and on third down, either he's going to stand up, rush the quarterback, or he's got his hands in the dirt, rush the quarterback. But 15 of my top 80, and just kind of running it through my head, that's what, about 19% if you kind of edge it off a little bit. That's a lot of edge rushers, but that's the thing about the NFL. You want the guy that can sling it, and you want the guy that can put that quarterback that can sling it down. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. Have on with us NBA Odyssey insider Nick Friedell right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from Odyssey Sports, our NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai at Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Man, you can buy anything off Amazon today. How about that? Nick, thanks so much for joining us, buddy.
Guys, it is great to hear y'all's voices, and oh my, do we have some stuff to discuss.
Yeah, here. Just a few things. Nick, I'll throw it to you right off the bat with Joe Dumars. You know, from a lot of indications, this had kind of been working for quite some time, and this was a call made by Gail Benson. She made that decision, and she had known, you know, Joe Dumars basically from the league meetings and things that had happened in that manner. He's a Louisiana guy, and he is close friends also to Mickey Loomis, Saints general manager, executive vice president. But your thoughts on Joe, and man, early on with the Pistons, they had a lot of success, won a championship, and that wasn't the most loaded, talented team-wise. And then after that, man, he couldn't draft worth a lick, and basically was his downfall with the Pistons. And I think that's the key part of all this. What kind of outer structure he has around him to give him advice on college players and also professional players.
Yeah, Mike, I think there's a lot of different layers here when you start breaking down Dumars and what happened in Detroit, because first and foremost, you have to give him a ton of credit for building that team that did win. Yep. Because there were so many people that were kind of like, wait a minute,
the Pistons, like with this group, I remember the conversation always being, they don't have a star. How can you win without a star? Well, what he ended up finding was he had a few Hall of Famers on that team that may not be the classic stars that we're used to, but they worked tremendously well in a group. And then you thought, okay, well, this team is set up. And, you know, then you go back to the Darko conversation and you go, uh-oh. And this ties to your point about drafting and why they didn't continue to fulfill the promise and the runway of supposedly great teams that they were going to have for so long. I think the issue with Joe is going to be he's got to prove again that he can find guys that are younger and have them grow together. And, you know, it didn't work in Detroit. And that team was a mess. And they went through a whole bunch of different rebuilds. And you think, you know, as enough time passed that people start to think they remember the good times and they remember what did happen. But if that's what ownership wants to roll the dice on, more power to them, because so often, guys, as we know, it seems like the league wants to go younger and go with people who have a background of maybe more analytics and different areas of the game now. To go all the way back with Joe D, it's a roll of the dice, but it's not the first time we've used that description as it pertains to the Pelicans.
The other part of it is all indications also point to Willie Green having another year with the Pelicans. Your thoughts on bringing Willie back last year? Just a disaster from an injury standpoint. And he made it known after a couple of games, man, he kind of called them out for being soft, a soft team. And so your thoughts on Willie Green most likely having another season in New Orleans?
Mike, I've got to admit that is a surprise, because when you bring somebody new in, whomever it may be, usually they want their own people in there. And the fact that that didn't happen, you kind of go, you know, we'll see. I mean, there are a lot of different options here on the table, certainly for Dumars as he comes into to power. But you and I talked about this months ago, and I remember all three of us were kind of like, yeah,
yep.
You know, Willie's well-liked and has the respect of the room, but then he started to call guys out, and you're going, this isn't going to end well. And so the idea that even after making the change that you're going to stay with some of that old guard that had been there, it's a little bit of a surprise. But you know, I feel bad for Willie in this sense, because we know what will happen. If they lose it all early on, he is gone. Yep. And then, you know, here we go again. But it's a surprise to me, only because usually when you have the fresh start, you start everything fresh. You don't have some relics of a different era.
I'll throw this in there too, Nick. The types of coaches that are on the market right now, I mean, I don't think we've talked to you since the Taylor Jenkins situation with Memphis, and then more recently Mike Malone getting fired from Denver. Mike has brought this up multiple times on the show, that a bunch of former championship-winning coaches have been fired from their teams that they won a championship with. It doesn't make much sense. It's been a crazy, you know, couple years in the NBA with coaching. And with Willie Green, there was steady improvement this past year. I can understand potentially giving him another year because of all the injuries that the Pelicans went through. But you see some of these names out on the market, and maybe it gives you a little bit of pause in bringing Willie back.
Charlie, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I know the guy, if I'm running a team, having figured out and seen what's happened, not only in the last few years, but the proven track record that he does have. If I'm a new GM or exec in a new place, I am picking up the phone and I'm hiring Michael Malone, period. That's who I would hire, because this guy consistently has gotten the most out of younger teams. In Denver, he helped Jokic get to a whole different place, and that team won a title. And I cannot believe, you know, the Denver situation, on top of, you just mentioned Taylor Jenkins. I mean, the league is just going crazy with all these hirings and firings and getting guys in and out of there. So I would only caution the Pelicans as they go through this shift. And again, Mike, as you mentioned, we'll see what happens with Willie and that staff and what goes on moving forward. It all goes back to Zion, though. You can hire anybody you want to run the team. You can hire anybody you want to coach the team. Until you move on from Zion, to me, you're not doing anything. You can sit there and hope and wish upon a star that, oh, things will turn around and he's going to stay in better shape this time. If it's me, I'm sitting there saying the first thing I'm going to do is trade Zion. This is not the guy we want to build around. We need a completely fresh start. Off we go.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai from the comfort of your home at Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Charlie?
Nick, you are preaching to the choir. And I know that you've said this on this station before, that until the Pelicans move on from Zion, they're stuck in neutral, right? And with the Zion situation, we had heard differing reports with Dumars coming in that the ownership was going to potentially mandate Dumars to find a trade for Zion and move on from him. They're done with all the drama. They're done with the injuries. I know Bobby Marks from ESPN put this out there that in his first six seasons, four of those six seasons, he hasn't broken 30 games played. And that's just, like, with David Griffin, not every move that he made was bad. He made some good decisions when he was here as the lead executive in New Orleans, but other people that we've talked to as well brought up the point that he just got the wrong number one pick. You know, like, you see Anthony Edwards and Paolo Banchero and like most recently Cade Cunningham with the Pistons, all these guys that are really kind of bringing back hope to all these franchises. Zion Williamson's 6 years in New Orleans have been a lot of drama, a lot of injuries, and it's a huge reason why Griff ended up getting fired.
I think that is
the
well
reason.
Very well said. And Charlie, what I would say to any poor Pelicans fan out there that is hoping that this is a sign that things are going to change. You know, all the cliches that are spit out when these kind of moves happen. Great. Show me. Have actions back up what the problems are. And to me, it has to start with Zion. I mean, he just was not the guy that everybody thought he was going to be. I don't see how that changes now. And if you're New Orleans, why would you run the risk of, maybe this time he can turn it around? How many years are we going to see this? How many years is the team and the city going to be held to a point where you go, maybe now's the time? Do what needs to be done. Start over and start building the team the way you are trusting Joe Dumars. Do it. I just don't see how you can walk into next season saying, oh, everything's good with Zion still on the roster and the uncertainty that he brings.
Nick, I don't think I've asked you this in all the times we've had you on, but looking at the NBA draft, do you consider Cooper Flagg that gold chip prospect?
Yes.
Okay.
And Mike, here's why. When you talk to people around the league and you talk to people who have worked with him for years, and that 1 year at Duke, they'll tell you flatly, there aren't too many guys that you would want instead of Cooper Flagg right now to build around. The fact that he is where he is age-wise, he has the talent that he has, you know his game is going to get much better with better coaching and even more time in the gym. Yes, absolutely, 100%. If I had the chance to draft him, I would take that guy, and I don't think the list is very long in terms of the trades that you would make where you wouldn't want him on the team. I think he is that special of a talent.
Nick, when you look at how the playoffs are going to break down out in the West, and I've heard a lot of people, and we've had even someone here say, you know, OKC too young. They're a year away. My thing is, what? You got to be kidding me. Do you see anybody that can catch them in the West?
Mike, I wouldn't bet on anybody else. I think with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the MVP season that he's had and the young talent that plays defense every night, I think they're just probably a little bit of a cut above. The one team that I am
fascinated by as we start this whole progression here is Golden State. And I say that not only because, hey, you get Jimmy and Steph together. We know the record they've had the last few months. Guys, those dudes out there on the West Coast understand they don't have too many more shots at this thing. I mean, this is Steph and Jimmy and Draymond's last best chance. I think their last real chance will be next year. So I think they've got a window now of about a year and a half where they can give it everything they have. Maybe they make a move this summer heading into next year. But, Mike, they know they can win. They know they have championship-level talent. Is OKC still probably a little bit better? Yeah. But if you were saying, all right, I had to throw my money on somebody else that might give me a chance, it would be the Warriors for me above the Lakers or the Nuggets or anyone else.
And it's really interesting because with this play-in tournament that they have, and the Western play-in tournament is obviously more intriguing than the East. You saw what happened the last couple nights. But with the Warriors getting the 7 seed, going to play Houston in the first round, the 2 seed, that came out of nowhere, right? And it's a really fun storyline. I've said to Steve before that as far as my favorite first-round series go, that's probably the number one for me just because you have the old guard of Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry and obviously Draymond Green versus this young gun Houston Rockets team led by Ime Udoka that maybe is a little bit ahead of schedule. That matchup is super, super intriguing in the first round. But also another one that I'm looking at, maybe the snake in the grass team in the Western Conference that I think's starting to pick up a little bit more hype is the Clippers at the 5 seed. I know that maybe they don't match up super well with OKC in the second round, but with Denver, I mean, listen, you fire Mike Malone a week before the start of the postseason, you're not really expecting, even with a historic season from Nikola Jokic, you're not expecting them to go anywhere. So the Clippers are one of those teams that I'm keeping an eye on too.
I'm with you, Charlie, but the Clippers worry me on top of Kawhi, obviously, and health-wise, can he stay on track? What would worry me is the Clippers kind of flying under the radar. Not a lot of people care about the team, certainly in L.A. But who do they have on that roster? It's James Harden. And how many times in the playoffs have we seen James Harden just completely disappear when whatever team he was on really needed him? The consistency that needs to be there for the Clippers not only to get through the first round and beyond, assuming, as you said, that OKC series were to happen. I just don't believe in the core of that group enough to think they can actually do it, which is why, again, am I betting on the Warriors to make it happen this year? No. I think they still have some serious flaws on that roster. I really don't believe in the Clippers because of Kawhi's health and Harden's inconsistency in the biggest games.
Nick, thanks so much for joining us. I said this about the Saints season when it was over with, and I'll say it about the Pelicans. The offseason will be a lot better to cover than the in season.
25 days away from the draft lottery, guys, and that's going to be absolutely monumental for this franchise.
Yeah, got a lot of things happening, Nick.
Guys, it's always great to be with you, and I can't thank you enough. And, Mike, hope is a strong, strong thing when you are in New Orleans and in the NBA with a team that, yeah, needs some help.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. We'll be back and it'll be our Inside the NFL Draft feature looking at the edge rushers for 2025, just 1 week away. It'll be the start of the draft and we'll have you wall-to-wall coverage right here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And it's our daily, we go through the NFL draft. And today it's about the edge rushers. And we talked about this a little earlier. 15 of my top 80 are edge rushers. And I'm not including Jalen Walker in there because I have him listed as a linebacker, which I think he'll play probably 85% of the time. They'll use him as a edge rusher on third down. But Abdul Carter, clear-cut, the number one guy in this group. Where you're going to get some debate is who's 2 and 3 from Mikael Williams from Georgia and the Saints brass were in Georgia today in Athens to be with Jalen Walker and Mikal Williams. Check that out. And Mike Green, who led the NCAA in sacks last year at Marshall, the guy with potential, we can scare the hell out of me, and I wouldn't pick him. Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. James Pierce Jr., interesting story. Man, you get the dichotomy with him. I know some teams got him listed in that 15 to 16 range, and some teams don't have him as a first or second round pick. And that may be some attitude issues or what they perceive to be maybe him not being the best teammate around. So we'll see what happens with James Pierce Jr. and Donovan Arazako. From Boston College. And Donovan, man, you watch him play. He's a skinny dude, but can he come off the edge? And got great pursuit, super smart. I can move him around quite a bit. But Mike Green, I think, would be probable top 12 pick. And he may still be in that range. He's got an off-the-field incident that some teams have done a lot of research on, but there is great debate, Charlie, on exactly who is the clear-cut two and three here. I would think on most boards, Williams, Green, Stewart is probably there. On some boards, Pierce would be included in there. So it's depending on what you want and how – personality-wise, you think Pierce would fit on your team?
With Mike Green, Mike, you brought this up the other day, that he's the best technician of the group. Abdul Carter is just a freak. I mean, if you watch that dude, and he started off as an off-ball linebacker, he kind of converted to full-time edge this past year, and he terrorized opposing offenses off the edge. Mike Green is probably my number two. Do you have Mikal above him?
Yeah, just slightly above. Now, I will give Mike Green this, and it is clear cut. He's the best technician.
Right.
And it ain't even close. I mean, the next best guy is not close to Green as a technician. How he can use his arms and hands, he's got a swim over move and, man, a crossover move that is so, so good. But again, for some teams, he may not be the ideal size. And again, the off-the-field incident is why you have some teams that don't have him as the number clear-cut number two.
James Pierce is kind of the high-ceiling play. And just knowing how this draft is going to go, in all likelihood, Mike, he's going to be there at 32 for the Eagles, isn't he? And how he's going to get himself another SEC stud.
You would figure.
No, Pierce is interesting. Like, did you remember he ran the 40-yard dash at the combine with his hoodie on? And they're just like, why do you do that? And he said that he just forgot that he had his hoodie.
Now, that don't surprise me with James. I'll be honest with you.
He didn't care. He's a weird dude. Like, the personality thing for sure is something that you'll have to be wary of. But, I mean, as far as the speed that he possesses and converting speed to power as a pass rusher, he's
and,
a really...
And how well he plays the run. He's good at it.
Yeah, for his size especially.
He's good at it.
Because you would think, because what is he, Mike? Like 240 pounds, 245 maybe on a good day?
He's a good leverage player.
You would think that when he's going up against these big offensive tackles that are, that got 80 to 100 pounds on them, that he would kind of get washed out in it. But I agree. He has a certain kind of mean streak to him as well. So James Pierce is a really enticing prospect. Shamar Stewart, I mean, listen, he's built like Hercules, right? And he tested, the relative athletic scores are off the chart when you're looking at Shamar Stewart. He is a freak of human nature. At the same time, the numbers don't really back it up. So when you're taking a chance on Shamar, you're taking a swing at the plate, but you're taking a swing at the wrong word that we don't like to use, the wrong P word in potential. Shamar Stewart could potentially be a legit stud in the NFL, but does he have the production from college that could back up that type of swing? No. He had three straight years with 1.5 sacks at Texas A&M, Mike. I just don't – like, he's going to be a first-round pick because someone's going to take a chance.
And he's going to be a fairly high first-round pick. I'll be honest, he's going to be a teens pick.
Yeah.
But he's somebody else's teens pick. He's not mine the way I would look at
it. It's the wrong P word, the dreaded P word in potential versus production, Mike.
I see him, he's a one-move guy, and then he's lost. He I don't think he has great football instincts. He is a great athlete. He can move like very few guys his size. He's got the length you're looking for. but he has difficulties finding the ball. And my thing is, if you got difficulties today doing that, you're going to have difficulties as an NFL player doing that.
Yep. And then, you know, I'm looking at trying to – Ezeraku's enticing.
Ezeraku is an interesting guy.
So I was listening to the Move the Sticks podcast the other night, Mike, and I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah give his breakdown of him from the NFL Network. And he mentioned that whatever team takes Ezeraku is going to have to realize that he might be a little bit of a project. Like, he's probably not going to be first year coming in producing upwards of double-digit sacks, right? He's going to take a little bit of time, but he's also going to be a first-round pick, maybe 20s. At the feels like the ceiling for someone like Ezeraku is, like, Tampa Bay, right, at pick 19.
He'd be a good fit there. Yeah. I think they would like Jahad Campbell better because, you know, man, the old pop's playing linebacker for them. I don't know how much longer he'll be able to go. But Ezeraku is a guy that on third down, I say, you see the guy that's going to get the snap? Sick him. Man, can he run and get after the quarterback. So what we're taking a look at here is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys with first-round pick. Either, I can't say grades because – three of them don't have it, but they in that range of 1 to 32. If you're going to kind of go down the list with it, and I'll have my list. I'll send it out to the guys. They'll post it, I guess, Monday with that. But I have six of the top 32 defensive ends. And so then after that, Landon Jackson, who was at LSU for a while, Coach O recruited him and then left after he had an injury and then coaching change. He goes to Arkansas. Nick Scorton, man, you get a wild opinions all over the board with Scorton. He's never done anything to super impress me at A&M. I liked him much better at Purdue. I thought he was a good player at Purdue. He didn't really progress anywhere at A&M. Human Mealon is a Princely, who was at Florida. Then he goes to Ole Miss. I think a good football player. And then Ohio State's got a couple of guys. Jack Sawyer and JT, who I think can really get after it. And they can rush the quarterback. Jared Ivey from Ole Miss, another guy who can play both inside and off the edge. Josiah Stewart, from Michigan. A little undersized, but he can rush the quarterback. And then I think Braden Swenson from LSU. I've had, Charlie, this week, I'm going to say five people give me a call on Braden Swenson. He did nothing 2 years ago at LSU. Zero.
He's shooting up draft boards, Mike. Like, I remember I talked to you a couple weeks ago about it. Maybe he was a late third, early fourth round pick type
of
guy.
He ain't getting that
far. He's not. He's going to be a bona fide day two pick, maybe even a second rounder, depending on a team, you know, if they really want to take him, if they don't have a third round pick that, and they don't feel confident that he's going to be there in the third round. Braden Swenson, who made a ton of hay at LSU this past season, could potentially be a second round pick in the 2025 draft. Imagine me telling you that a year ago today, Mike.
I wouldn't have believed you, neither would have Pete Jenkins. And he coached him that year because he was like, Mike, you hearing things right about that brain? I was like, yeah, Pete, I'm not just telling you that. I am hearing. He's like, well, I didn't see it when I was there. But, man, did he blossom big time at LSU in 2024. We'll be back to finish it off here on Sports Talk in Hour Number 1 right after this break. Finishing up here in Hour Number 1 of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. At 520, we'll have on with us the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, breaking down what the black and gold we'll be looking at basically 1 week from today and then the Friday and Saturday, and you'll get coverage all day long. Saints Talk right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back right after this news break.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long at 5:45. Steve Geller will join us for our Bet 365 triple option feature at 5:20. The voice of the Saints, Mike Hoss, will join us to break down what he thinks will happen come first round, and that's 1 week from today. And again, it starts here on the Big 870 at 4 o'clock. Hoss and Deuce, they'll be at the Saints camp interviewing all the major players there, from Kellen Moore to Mickey Loomis, Jeff Ireland, Michael Parrington, the offensive defensive coordinators for the Saints. And then at 6 o'clock, they'll throw it to us, and we'll be at 504 Golf on Howard Avenue, myself along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and Steve Geller. Hoss and Deuce will meet us there a little bit later, as soon as they can get there. And they may get there before the Saints pick at 9. So we'll have wall-to-wall coverage of round one. And then starting at 6 o'clock, no, I think it'll start at 4 again the next day. And we'll be on at 6 doing the exact same thing for rounds 2 and 3. Interesting, the Saints still have that second, but got two-thirds this year. So we'll have three picks on day two of the draft, and then starting on Saturday at 10 o'clock, we'll have you wall-to-wall coverage until it's over with in round 7, and we may be here till 6, 6:30, 7 o'clock. We'll also give you coverage of the press conference when Coach Kellen Moore and Mickey Loomis address the media on the selections next Saturday. Charlie, we had talked about, and I got a text about Savion Jones. Savion's not my top 80. He's 83 for me. So he's got an opportunity, and I saw Savion when he came out of St. James High School. he wasn't 220 pounds. He was less than that. He grew into that big body, has played some defensive tackle, played much better this year when he was on the edge. He's not a super quick guy to get edge pressure, but I think he'll always be solid there. Plays the run very well. He's instinctive. He's learned how to use his arms and hands really, really well to get off blocks. And while I think he's a good pass rusher, he'll never be a great one. And at one time, I took a look at him, and I said, man, this must be like Danielle Hunter looked like when he was in high school. Because they have similar kind of bills at the high school ranks. I mean, Hunter has gone on to have an unbelievable NFL career. After it was kind of pedestrian at LSU, he didn't have a lot of sacks, and he told me the reason why he had not gotten stronger in the lower body to build up that power and turning power into speed. And man, Danielle Hunter, he's one of the best edge rushers in the game today. But I think Savion Jones, and I think his fit would really be good in a 3-4 defense where he would play defensive end. Big fan of Savion. Big, big fan of his.
I got to double check his official measurables, Mike, but he's got some good size to him. And I know that he kind of fluctuated a little bit. You talked about Savion's journey when he first arrived at LSU.
He was skinny as a rail.
220 pounds, maybe.
I don't know if he was that.
And then he gets all the way up to like 280 pounds.
He was more than that, too.
Pete talked about potentially playing him inside, right? And that was back in, what was it now, 2023. But then in 2024, he cut a little bit of weight, got to a better spot for him. And as you've mentioned, playing defensive end in a 3-4 scheme just feels like the best fit for Savion at the next level. He's another one that, Mike, when we had talked about Braden and Savion, the two edge rushers from LSU, initially before all this buzz came in about Braden Swinson, that you figured that both of them would be, you know, maybe a late day two, early day three, late third round, maybe fourth round pick.
I still feel that way about Savion.
Yeah, I agree. Savion's not getting as much buzz as Braden is. Braden's shooting up draft boards, but Savion's still in a good spot, right? You're either a potentially a late third round pick, early fourth round pick, and you're going to be on an NFL team come, you know, the fall.
I do one thing, man. He's pedal to the metal. When he gets out on the field, he's going to give you everything he's got, and he's got a lot. And he did get heavy. He was in the 290 range. And got his weight down. Pete Jenkins kind of ran out of defensive tackles. And so he had to play him inside. And he's always, man, oh, wow. When you see Savion, please apologize to him that I had to do it. But I knew really he was better off on the edge. And goes to show what Kevin Peoples did this year. In 1 year at LSU, look the progression of Braden Swinson and Savion Jones.
And two completely different players off the edge, too, Mike.
And, man, Kevin Peoples, I'm just telling you, that's the mark of a good coach, of taking a guy and kind of getting the very most out of him. We didn't see that with Braden, and then all of a sudden it blossoms with Kevin Peoples. And Savion, I thought, was a good player. I thought last year became a very good player for the Tigers.
So his combine measurables, Mike, 6'5". 280 pounds is what he measured in at Indianapolis. So he's still holding heavy at the 280. And then the arm length, 33.5-inch arms, 10-inch hands. And the production, right? The boost, as you mentioned, under Coach Peoples from 2023 to 2024 was a jump. You go from 33 tackles to 40, 3.5 tackles for loss to 7.5, 2.5 sacks, 4.5 sacks, right? He made that step under Coach Peoples in 2024 to where now he's a draftable prospect and teams are doing their research on him.
Yeah, no question about it. And while I haven't had as many calls about Savion, I do know his character is very good. And, man, he's always been a guy. And he sort of dreamed at one time. Him and Kyron Lacy both told me the same thing. Man, we grew up, we want to play basketball. That was the dream, to play, you know, basketball. And you know, Savion takes a look around. They got a lot of 6'4" basketball players. But, man, that ability at that time, when he came out of St. James, he could run the field well. He was a good edge rusher. And I think it's going to really hold forth really well for him. And he's going to end up being a late third, early fourth round pick. So to answer that texter, that's where I think Savion will be. And with Braden Swinson, right now I'd put him as a late second, early third. I think that looks to be where he may potentially get selected at. And, man, if I'd have told you that last year, ain't nobody would have believed me. No one.
And then he leads the team with 8.5 sacks and 13 tackles for loss in 2024, Mike. And he just had the breakout season. That is exactly what you wanted. He made a lot of money in 2024.
And we didn't see any of this at Oregon.
Right.
We didn't see it in 2023. But then, the light came on. He got his weight right. Man, fundamentally got much, much better. Coach Peoples talked about that he became the technician. That's what he needed to be, the technician. And man, he was that in 2024 for the Tigers. When we come back, we'll have on with us the voice of the Saints, Mike Hollis, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long. Before we go to Mike Hollis, man, LSU's in the semifinals tonight for women's gymnastics and trying to defend that title, Charlie. And, man, for the Lady Tigers, they have been something. Man, I got 2 grandkids, and if anything kind of captivates them, it's to watch the gymnastics. My oldest granddaughter's in gymnastics herself, pretty good at it. But, man, LSU gymnastics and, Coach Didi did a great job there, but what happened last year to win that title? And it was so suspenseful to watch it at the end. But LSU now on that journey to try to get it 2 years in a row.
8 teams left, Mike. It's Oklahoma, Florida, Missouri, and Alabama in the first semifinal, and then LSU, Utah, UCLA, and Michigan State in the second semifinal.
Man, how did Michigan State get? Yeah, you look at all the different regions. It's they kind of the lone wolf.
Yeah. It's a lot of Southeast and then a little bit in West competition with UCLA and Utah. But yeah, Michigan State is kind of the lone wolf.
The lone wolf there. But man, I've seen Michigan State and they're impressive. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, the voice of the Saints, Mike Hollis. And next week at this time, Hollis, you'll be doing what I'm doing. You'll be interviewing, and you'll be interviewing the Saints brass out at the camp itself.
Yeah, but let me finish up on your conversation. USA Gymnastics, the championships, right here, Smoothie King Center, August 7th through the 10th. So the best in the world will be coming here. And so that's pretty cool. So you're right. Just wanted to follow that up. But yeah, so yeah, 4 to 6 next Thursday, Deuce and I, the first few, pretty cool. We know them all. And then we're going to go. It's a lot of new coaches, right? So new theories, new kind of thoughts, new processes. And I'm even sure they don't even know the answers to some of the processes yet, just starting OTAs. But man, it is. And then, of course, with the news on Friday, we went from just kind of a, all right, let's prepare for the coaches. It was a big deal just to have a pick in the top 10. And, 9 picks overall. I like the number 9, by the way. 9th pick, 9 picks overall. But then everything changed. And now it's just, oof. I don't know how you did it for so many years. My head is just swimming with names and percentages.
Charlie can tell you, man, I wish I wrote notes on stuff. I'm fortunate, man. The good Lord give me that ability to recall pretty good. But, I look at it this way. Man, Derek Carr, he can go play somewhere else now. He didn't throw down his cards. He don't want to be here. Okay, June 2nd. I cut you loose. You go do what you got to do, and I'll move on from you. It's a difficult kind of profession to be in because sometimes agents and lawyers and, you're trying to maneuver. He didn't want to be here, and I think he's doing his best not to come back, which I don't expect he will. But, Micah, we had a texter ask about trading up in the draft, and I'll answer the texter first. I think the only way the Saints would have traded up in this draft class, and I don't think they will, but they would have, and I think maybe tried to. I think they did make a shot at it to get to the one spot, to get Cam Ward, the quarterback from Miami of Florida. I'm pretty sure about that. But then the Titans, they look as though they've sort of tightened the belt and say he's going to be our guy. Talking about maybe moving up for Will Campbell. I don't see them making a move to go up in this draft. Mike, I want more picks. I don't want less. And this team's got enough holes. Man, 9 picks ain't enough.
Yeah, but that's not the MO, right? I mean, trading back to get more picks. I mean, that sounds like a great philosophy, but, doesn't – it's the front office. And I'm not saying they won't, but just if you look at history, it's not what they've done. I mean, the last five drafts, they've averaged 5.8 players a draft. So not even six guys. So to have nine, and I agree with you, Ben, if they have wide receiver, offensive line, tight end, you know, defensive run stopper, secondary, there's no position that running back that doesn't need, you know, an upgrade, an impact player. And you have this opportunity, but I don't see it. But so I guess let me ask you, because I'm sure you've been asked a million times. Like, to me, the Saints are the grade is the grade, right? They've got their grade on Shador and Jackson and all the quarterbacks. And so the grade didn't change on Friday. And I feel that's kind of who they are. That's their DNA. So do they take Shador at nine, or do they – and maybe they had him graded there already. I don't know. But if they didn't, history tells me they won't deviate from the board.
If he's not nine, I don't pick him, and I'm fairly certain they don't have him close to nine. So, you know, if it's an offensive lineman, if it's a defensive lineman, if it's Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State, if it's Tet, maybe, McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona, I don't deviate because, Mike, I've spent so much time and cash money, okay, and hours scouting these players. For me, all of a sudden to say I'm going to throw that out the window and I'm going to do what I want. Now, Mike Ditka did that. Mike came in with a real small card, and he was going to pick who he wanted. I don't care what the scouts think. These are who I want. But that's not how it's done here. And I think that they're not going to deviate from that. I think they're going to go with the best player on their board at nine.
And if that whoever that might be, and I would agree. I mean, to me, there's some unbelievable – I think the wide receivers we haven't talked about hardly enough – In the 1,300 mock drafts, the consensus is there's going to be one, and that's Tet, to be taken in the first round. So there's a ton of people out there. Would you maybe trade combine a two and a three? Let's say, for whatever reason, Shador and Jackson both escape the first round. Probably not. Probably Pittsburgh maybe take them. Maybe Cleveland slides back into the first. Who knows? But let's say they both do. Do you take one of those guys? Do you trade? If he's not, do you feel confident enough in your second round pick to move up to get one of those two guys?
Mike, I think the thing with that is there's a third option to that. As that young man from Alabama, Jalen Milroe.
Jalen Milroe, yep.
And I know some people in that organization that really like Milroe. And, you know, you think about Kellen Moore and what he had in Philly. And Jalen Hurts, I would say, and I look at Milroe, Hurts is a lot like Milroe when he came out of Alabama. Now, not the Hurts that came out of Oklahoma, because Lincoln did a great job with him at Oklahoma. He refined him as a passer. And, you know, you could see that Kellen Moore would see that. That, you know, he's got a lot of Jalen Hurts in him, and I could refine that. I wouldn't have to play him year one. But I could build a package that he could see a lot of playing time. And the one thing he does really well as a passer, man, can he throw the deep ball. Now, short intermediate stuff is what he got to work on, and there's some mechanical stuff there. And people always ask me about, you know, at Manning, Bill Belichick was there this summer, and so I would always go watch the quarterbacks throw, and I'd always spend a little bit more time watching Milroe. Every practice, guess who kind of touch me, pull us, hey, I got to get it. He was like, hey, we keep meeting here every morning. Bill Belichick. Hey, he wasn't there because he loved the heat and humidity of South Louisiana in July. He was there looking at quarterbacks because I think he thought he'd be in the NFL today, not in college football.
So who is under center game? If they go Milroe and want to kind of sit him and prepare him, your quarterback room right now is Carr, Spencer, Hayner, and James Madison's Ben DiNucci. So do they go out and get a
I would go get a veteran.
Go get you a veteran and prepare Milroe?
I do that because I just see that if you're going to use a second-round pick on a quarterback today, I think you realize he's going to be your starter in 2026. And, you know, a big part of Kellen Moore getting a head coaching job is what he did with quarterbacks at the NFL level. Okay, look what he did with Dak Prescott. Justin Herbert, that was a tough situation because they were all beat up. And then look what happened to Jalen this year. But I do think that they're going to use an early pick on a quarterback, but it won't be at nine. It will not be at nine.
They'll be there. I mean, Shador, Jackson, Quinn Ewers, Tyler Shuck, Kyle McCord, Jalen Milroe, 40th pick in the second, and they got two in the third if they ever did want to, you know, package something. So they've got options, but, man, like you say, they've got holes, right? And as I say to everyone, if you don't run the ball better and you don't stop the run better than you have in the last 4 or 5 years, who cares what the question is? The next question is, right?
That's why, in my opinion, I think if a Tyler Warren is there, I think they go in that route. But I think what's not being talked about enough, defensive line. Mike, ain't stopped the run in 2 years,
right,
on this football team. You got to get somebody that can help you. Now, you did go out and acquire a veteran nose guard in Davin Godshaw, and I think Davin will do a really good job there. But I think if they pick an edge early, that would tell you kind of the defense that they're going to run there. And yeah, they feel as though we don't have enough players there, and we want another guy to help out Chase Young. You understand with Cam, you know, he's in the winter years of his career, along with Carl Granison, who's played really well. But I want another one. I want another guy up front.
Right, but you're looking at that like I kind of am with this new defense. These edge rushers are not your necessarily pass rushers. These edge rushers are, you know, there to stop the run as well. They're not the big 6'5", 6'6", guys. You know, they're going to be a different body type, you know, almost like a linebacker on the end, because they've got to find a way to stop the run. And that's what I think Staley kind of looks at in this defense, assuming they – maneuver their way to a 4-3. I mean, who cares? I mean, you talk about the
numbers. All hybrid.
Right, it's exactly. Everything's a hybrid. Tell me what play it is, and, you know, it's a 5-2 or a 4-3, who knows, right?
The other thing, too, is that doesn't have much depth, and it was the strength last year, cornerback, Mike. Yeah. And I don't think they'll pick one in round one. I don't see that.
No.
Just some of the things that have happened with Will Johnson. Now, if you'd asked me that a year ago, man, Will Johnson looked like the guy. And then he gets hurt, and then, you know, he's got a turf toe injury and a hamstring injury. Didn't run, you know, at his workout. And that, you know, you hear a lot of different things from people outside or and in the Michigan kind of community. I don't think they use round one, but they're going to have to use, and I'm going to say this might be plural, they're going to have to use a couple picks, cornerback and safety.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think so as well. And just, you know, they losing Will Harris, you know, they picked up Justin Reed, and they did were able to kind of get some guys from a depth standpoint, and Isaac Yedem and Ugo Amadi kind of keep them around, but and Tyron. But man, I agree. They're going to need some impact players, right? Depth there. You replace with a Marshawn Lattimore and
Paulson Adebo.
Yeah, Paulson Adebo, exactly. But I think this is where, you know, I don't know how I feel about Kool-Aid. Like, I feel like I know a little bit of him, but it's, you know, I feel like we need to see more of him, and quite frankly, we need to see that 2023 class show up, right? Foskey, Miller, Saldivari, and those guys. You know, maybe in this defense, Foskey, you know, fares better. Kendre Miller, I don't know, right? That's the most part. I feel like I think Alvin's as good as they come. I don't care how old he's. Forget age. But with Kendre Miller's situation, they got rid of Jamal. I mean, how does running back not kind of figure high in this draft?
As I told Charlie all the time about them three guys, good rook.
Well,
I mean, I've seen with Saldivari, I think they want him to be that guy. He just can't stay healthy. Kendre Miller, they want him to be the guy, can't stay healthy. Foskey, I can't tell you anything about him other than he's pretty good on special teams.
I agree. I mean, you know, but that's 2, 3, 4 of 2023.
And it goes back to what Mike and I have said multiple times on the show, that you build through the strengths of a draft. Luckily for the Saints, the running back class this year is fantastic. So you have the extra third-round pick, you have the extra fourth-round pick, and with the gigantic question mark that you have about Kendra Miller, because we just don't know about the kid, in all honesty, you got to at least take one running back at some point, especially in the middle rounds. And if not just one, potentially two by the end of it, because you just have so many question marks in that running back room. As you mentioned, Alvin's still fantastic, but he's not getting any younger. And then Kendra Miller enters the year as your RB2 after you cut Jamal Williams, and you just don't have any kind of idea what he's going to provide. Mike, it's a good running back class, so it kind of matches the timing, but you definitely need to take at least one, if not two.
It's a great class for depth. I've never seen these kind of guys that's going to litter in the third and fourth rounds, where you could have 15 running backs go in rounds 3 and 4. That's how good a class it is.
You have the extra picks, use them.
Yeah.
What about wide receiver? I mean, to me, you know, I mean, you got Chris, you got Rashid, you picked up Brandon, you re-signed Dante, you got Bayless. But, man, I think this is a strong wide receiver class that's been overlooked, that maybe second, you know, again, we just threw away 2 quarterback picks or secondary picks, 2 running backs. We're running out of picks.
And we got too many positions to fill.
Right, right. So, I mean, I'd love to get a tight end. But to me, I feel like, I don't know, the wide receiver room is strong, but can it be stronger? You know,
they don't have a big man receiver.
And there's not many in this draft either, Mike. That's the issue. A lot of these guys are kind of slot or like smaller guys.
Smaller guys.
Yeah, other than Tet.
Yeah, Tet's a big dude.
Tet are like the 2. But outside of that, it doesn't really match the need, unfortunately. But if Higgins is there at 40, I mean, he could be an option. I don't know.
He's a big receiver from Iowa State. They got a big and a small. I mean, you know, man, you know, people say Iowa State's not that good. What? Play against them 2 receivers and see if they're not that good. They really good. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. We're looking forward to working with you on that 3-day stretch starting 1 week from today.
Look forward to it as well. Thank you, Charlie. All right, Michael.
All righty. Mike Hall, Spice of the Saints. When we come back, it'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature right after this break. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. It's our Bet 365 triple option feature. Steven, you first.
Well, gentlemen, it is going to be a lot different college game days. The great Lee Corso is retiring. He's going to make his final headgear pick, ESPN's college game day, Saturday, August 30th. That's week 1 of the 2025 season. Corso turns 90 years old in August, guys. He's been a part of the college football pregame show since it debuted back in 1987. And like I said, just game days won't be the same. Waking up, throwing that on. Ever since I can remember as a kiddo watching, and I looked up some of the interesting tidbits from Lee Corso's time. He's had 430 mascot headgear selections all time. Not bad. He's gone 286 and 144 all time.
That is good.
So that's a 0.665 win percentage right there.
No, look, if you were better, you'd be what I call R-I-C-H.
Looking also some of the most headgear selections he's made. Number 1 was Ohio State, 45 times. Alabama coming in at number 2 at 38 times. Good old LSU, number 3, 25 times. Florida, then 22 times. In Oregon, 21 times there. But, man, it's just a mainstay of me. You know, my youth and growing up, it just seemed every Saturday morning looking forward to waking up and getting ready for a day of college football, and Lee Corso was a part of that. Glad he's coming back at least for one final show.
And think about it. I'd never believe how good Nick Saban is on there now. You know, Nick, he didn't like the media at all, and he's got a kind of a salty tongue, which I understand. I'm around him all the time like that too. But man, he is really good. He's entertaining,
right?
Very, very entertaining. And you wouldn't think him and McAfee would be like partners, so to speak,
right?
But they 2 peas in a pod together.
Perfect, right? Good combo.
Yeah, so, guys. Speaking of McAfee, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers in the news that popped up today. he went on the Pat McAfee show and talked about he hasn't decided on his future and that he's potentially willing to play for $10 million in 2025 after a tenure with the Jets that didn't go very well. And recently, you know, Rodgers started kind of popping off about the Jets and how, you know, he went from basically California to New York to meet with the Jets brass, including their new GM, Darren Mooney, and also their new head coach, Aaron Glenn. And they basically told him, yeah, we're going in a different direction at quarterback. And he gets all like frustrated that, oh, you know, why couldn't you just tell me this over the phone? Why'd I have to fly all the way out here for you to just tell me you don't want me for 2025? You know, the Jets have already signed Justin Fields. They could also potentially be in the quarterback market this year and get a developmental guy. But Rodgers is not going to be a New York Jet. We're going to see where he ends up playing. He hasn't ruled out retirement, but he's also put it out there. $10 million a year is what he's potentially looking for.
Because he's already getting paid by the Jets. Okay, he didn't break that into the conversation. You know,
that's going to be the same situation with Derek Carr.
Same with Derek Carr, same with Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
If something happens with Kirk and he gets cut loose, you know, and if I'm another team, my deal is I don't want that contract. You know, I'm not going to give up anything contract-wise, and I'm not going to give up a draft choice, so I'm going to let Atlanta deal with it.
Yep.
You know, and when will Arthur Blank blink, so to speak, and say, you know what, enough's enough. Just cut him loose, and he'll go somewhere else and watch the people after Kirk Cousins then, despite the fact I didn't think he played real well last year. I think the Achilles really hampered him, and it threw his accuracy skills off. Almost at times, he looked like he was throwing the ball off balance.
Yeah,
he just wasn't certainly the same passer as we had seen in years past. Charlie, you'll like this one because it's a baseball one, and I rarely do it. But how about the NL West?
Oh.
The San Diego Padres right now. They 15 wins, four losses.
That's who the Astros are playing next, too.
Okay. The Giants, and I know Chrissy Smith, who's been on with us before covering the Pelicans. She's the biggest San Francisco Giants fan they got in this area. Oh, Lord. She waved the flag big time for the Giants. They 13-5, so they are a game and a half out. The Dodgers, Charlie's favorite team.
Oh, yeah.
They 14-6, and they're a game and a half out. And then the Diamondbacks, 11-7, 3.5 games back. Man, but think about the Padres and that start, and then followed by the Giants and the Dodgers. You'd have thought maybe it'd have been Dodgers.
Absolutely.
And then the flip after that. But, man, what San Diego and San Francisco have done early in the season, and it is still early. Very impressive.
And poor Colorado sitting there at 3-15, guys. Like, you have all these other teams that are basically
El Stinko.
Not just at the top of their own division. If you combine the entire NL together, in order, it goes San Diego, the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Diamondbacks. Before you even get to the Cubs at 12-9. And then, like, the Mets and the Phillies both have 11 wins. But to your point, Mike, it is a loaded division. And then you have the poor Colorado Rockies. And the best comp that I can give it, imagine for football fans, like, I'm trying to think, like the AFC North, right? Where you have these three loaded teams with great quarterback situations, and then you have the Browns, and then you have Cleveland. That's kind of how you should picture it with poor Colorado at the bottom of the standings.
Oh, man. So, and we'll be covering that. We'll take some time to cover the Major League Baseball scene and that sort of thing. But, man, the Padres, and 2 years ago, man, they were really, really good. They got hot late.
Like you said, Charlie, we'll see if they can keep it up for sure. You know the Dodgers are stacked.
But so who do Astros play next?
The Astros play the Padres next. And listen, guys, the Astros have been weird this year. It's win, loss. They haven't won two straight games yet. We're like 20 games into the season. But they really haven't lost many games in a row. So they're hovering around 500 right now. We'll see what happens.
That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. Finishing up here, our number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. I want to tell everybody, LSU baseball pregame starting at 6:30. As the Tigers play the Alabama Crimson Tide. And first pitch at 7 o'clock. Charlie, Tre'Davious White.
Yeah, he just signed a one-year deal with the Bills. And
back in Buffalo, and he'll always be part of NFL history. Because when they swap picks, Buffalo and Kansas City in round one, guess who Kansas City got? Pat Mahomes.
Yep.
And Tre'Davious was the pick. Now, they got a first-round pick the following year also. Tre'Davious White was the pick for the Buffalo Bills. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome on in our Thursday edition of Sports Talk, the second half, April 17th, getting ready for NFL draft, just 7 days away. We'll be talking about the first round starting in Green Bay, Wisconsin this season. Hopefully one day they can work it out where the Jazz Fest is either before or afterwards. They can line up things, and also the Zurich Classic, where the NFL draft could be in New Orleans, because you know this city would put it on like nobody else could. I just understand, though, there's so many events going on dealing with, like I said, Zurich and Jazz Fest. Just kind of hard to host an event like the NFL draft here in the city. Looking forward tonight, we got LSU baseball coming up, taking on Alabama in the box. Big matchup for the Bayou Bengals. Last time they had an SEC series, they got swept at Auburn. So, you know, this Tiger team's coming out tough this evening. And a Bama squad, we kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday, the fact that their pitching, definitely not very impressive. The bats, not too bad, but this Tiger team should be able to tee off on some Bama pitching this evening.
Yeah, that's what you would expect. But Auburn's pitching wasn't outstanding either, and they shut down LSU. It's all about execution. And Jay had mentioned this after, I think it was game two, I think it was ahead of game three against Auburn, that they weren't earning enough walks, but then in game three, it wasn't enough hits. I think they only had 4 hits in that game three loss against Auburn. So it's a little bit of everything. Like, you know, you have faith that LSU is going to figure it out at the plate. They had a good midweek matchup against a good McNeese team and against an Alabama pitching staff that, as you mentioned, Steve, it's kind of near the bottom of some different categories. Not necessarily the worst, because Missouri's basically the worst at everything in the SEC. But Alabama they kind of pride themselves on their offense and their bats, and they have some scary bats in the lineup, but their pitching staff can be had. And that's what's going to come down to this weekend in the box, is can LSU make enough hay, especially against their starting pitching, where they can get those early leads that they didn't have against Auburn, and then hand the ball to Cason Evans and Zach Cowan out of the bullpen and pick up some nice wins. You got to protect the box. You got to protect home field, right? And if you can pick up two wins against Bama, if not even a potentially a sweep, I don't want to look too far ahead of the horse.
Right, just win the series, please.
Win the series at home, and then you're right back on track. As we mentioned, getting to the 20-win mark is exactly what you want to see. So winning two or three at home, that's what you need to do.
Knock on wood, looking at the weather forecast, it seems like we're in a pretty good weekend in Baton Rouge where it's not going to affect any game time at all.
Yeah, knock on that wood, Steve. I'm keeping my fingers
maybe
crossed.
Maybe no lightning storms either, because remember when we went that one time for the postseason.
Not a single drop of rain.
Not a single drop, but just a lot of lightning.
It was terrible.
What we've been talking about, this NFL draft being a week away, today on ESPN, their NFL insider Adam Schefter was talking about Shedeur Sanders and the possibility of where he could be drafted, and kind of slotted it where he feels it's anywhere from 3 to number 21. A huge range there on where the Colorado QB could end up, and kind of poured some cold water on the fact of the Saints taking Shedeur with that 9th overall selection. So let's hear ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
There have been people this week, not many, but a couple, who have pointed out, don't be surprised if the Giants take Shedeur Sanders at 3. Do I think it's happening? It doesn't sound like it, but I don't think it can be dismissed. And I know J-Mac brought up the possibility of the Saints, and it would make a lot of sense. And the Saints have had the longest drought of not picking a quarterback in the modern era of the common draft and haven't drafted one in the first round since they took Archie Manning in 1971. But the fact of the matter is, when you talk to people around the league, I don't think they believe the Saints are taking Shedeur Sanders.
So what Shefty's hearing is that the Saints are not in on Shedeur Sanders, and obviously that's just something he's getting from his sources and not anything concrete.
We said this yesterday, Steve. But the light that should be going off in every Saints fan's head that the Saints weren't going to take Shedeur at pick 9 is the fact that Kellen Moore wasn't at Colorado's pro day. Kellen Moore is going to have a lot of say into the quarterback that they do select.
Draft detective, Charlie Long.
Shockingly enough. Well, I mean, it's just...
Right, put two and two together.
Right, it's kind of common sense that, Kellen Moore's going to have a lot of say into the next quarterback because, guess what? They're going to kind of develop and grow together, right? So... the fact that he wasn't there, if Shedeur was Kellen's guy, you imagine every single stone would be left unturned, right? So I don't see it happening. Shefty had just kind of put the buzz out there. At the same time, yes, 3 to 21 feels like the potential range for Shedeur, because if he's there at pick 21, you can imagine the Steelers are going to take him. But how many teams in that range are actually interested in someone like Shedeur Sanders? You know what I mean? Like, the Giants seem like the peak, because as we mentioned, Travis Hunter is going to be a Cleveland Brown on draft night. He's going number 2 after Cam Ward goes number 1. But then there's kind of, the Giants are where the draft starts. Yes, they could potentially take Shedeur, or they could take Abdul Carter, best player available. And then in between then, it's like the Saints are the potential spot, but they're not necessarily interested in Shedeur via that just clip that you played from Schefter. And then also, is there anyone in between the Saints and the Steelers?
Yeah, you start going down the rundown of these QB needy teams. It's not really the case.
Exactly. So if you're Shedeur Sanders, this could be a draft nightfall for you. And if the Steelers pass on you at 21, I mean, unless a team trades back into the first round.
That I feel like is going to happen from maybe a few quarterbacks.
Right. I mean, we'll see what ultimately happens for some of these guys. It feels like the quarterback position in this year's draft is so... it's fluctuating a week ahead of time. Like, we just don't know where some of these guys are going to land.
What's wild, too, throughout the NFL, to have that signal caller, it's oh so important. But so many teams, they're not set at that guy, or they have someone in place already. Some of the teams that have struggled, like the New York Giants, to me, seem like the spot for Shedeur. But you go out and sign guys like Russell Wilson and a Jameis Winston, I really don't think that eliminates them at all. And of course, they're having another private workout with him.
Right.
So the interest is still there. And I don't know. I just feel like the Giants are more of a fit than New Orleans for the Shedeur Sanders sweepstakes.
I am keeping my fingers crossed.
I know you are.
That the Giants take Shedeur at pick 3. And, we'll see what happens where Ashton Jeanty goes, because he's also a big variable where he could go.
6 is the favorite, right, for the Raiders?
6 for the Raiders, but maybe at 5 with Jacksonville, we'll have to see. But both of those two going in the top eight picks, fantastic news for Saints fans that want to address the trenches in the first round with that ninth overall selection, because you're like, we did the math, Mason Graham, Will Campbell, Armon Membu, Jalen Walker, one of those guys is going to be there.
You're speaking my language for sure.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So the Saints are in a good spot, and especially if they're not going to be reaching on Shedeur Sanders at pick nine.
I would, though, too, understand if you're interested in the Penn State tight end Tyler Warren as well with that pick.
Throw him in there as well. I was only talking about kind of trenches. I know Jalen Walker is kind of an off-ball linebacker that can play on the line of scrimmage as well. So there's that. But, yeah, Tyler Warren's in the mix right there, too. Tyler Warren could go as high as pick five to Jacksonville. Jacksonville, New York, both New Yorks, to be honest, and, like, the Saints are all in weird spots where you have these really good prospects at the top of this draft, and you just kind of got to see how they shape up and where they go in that top 10. As we said, it's going to be very unpredictable.
Man, hearing those horns makes me think of Jazz Fest. And coming back from the break, I'll give you the code word of the day. So stay right tuned right here on WWL after this. All right, I teased it. Now ready to party, folks. Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is culture. That's culture. C-U-L-T-U-R-E. Now just go to WWL.com/contest and register to win. It's that easy. Don't miss your chance. All you have to do is listen at 9 a.m., noon, 3, and 6 p.m. for the Jazz Fest code word of the day. And you can see amazing artists like Pearl Jam, Dave Matthews Band, Lil Wayne and the Roots, John Fogerty, Harry Connick Jr., and so much more. Good luck and happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. Myself, I always look forward to the second weekend of Jazz Fest just because first weekend, well, that's next week, and that's tied up with the NFL draft. So always hope that the acts that I so desperately want to see end up on that second weekend, because the atmosphere, always on point. Love the whole layout of Jazz Fest. You have great food there as well. The garlic ribeye po' boy sandwich, always one that I have that. It's a must have every single year.
Okay. Well, Steve, I mean, from a sports perspective, we've talked about this as well. We're really upset that Tennessee and LSU is playing on draft weekend.
Right? That's rough.
At the box, too. Like, well, obviously.
Good thing we got computers and phones to keep up with everything.
Yeah, we can keep up with it and everything.
I know,
like
it's not like sitting down and watching it.
Yeah, it kind of stinks.
We'll be engrossed in draft stuff.
Yeah, the draft stuff is going to be taking up our lives for, you know, the end of next week. But it's unfortunate timing with what's expected to be one of the best SEC series of the season for college baseball.
Want to remind everybody, too, we've got the pre-draft show, which is great, with Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, and all the Saints brass. But if you want to hang out with me, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Deuce and Haas, and Jeff Nowak, also going to be at 504 Golf and Entertainment for our Saints draft show, The Party. Three levels of pure fun at 3800 Howard Avenue in New Orleans. That's Thursday, 4 to 6 on WWL. We'll be back with LSU baseball right now.